This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'ghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Welcome back, everybody. Jazakumullah khairan for holding tight. We thank Allah and we praise Him immensely for the great opportunity. I personally have been really like looking forward to this event, mashallah, tabarakallah. And alhamdulillah, you know, Allah has made this possible. So we thank Allah for guiding us towards this. So Sheikh is back. Sheikh has joined us, alhamdulillah. So we'll be beginning shortly. And firstly, to begin, for those of you who are first timers, mashallah, tabarakallah, I don't know where you guys have been, but inshallah, since you're here for the first time, welcome. For those who are returning, alhamdulillah, welcome back as well. This is an event, Questions from 6 Feet Under. It's the third episode within the series of events that have happened so far, which are covering the questions that all of us will have to answer in the graves. And this is something that it's unavoidable, inescapable. So alhamdulillah, the team from the Revivers, mashallah, for those of you who don't know who the Revivers are, they are, mashallah, an amazing, amazing group of individuals, brothers and sisters from the International Islamic University in Malaysia, mashallah, tabarakallah, who came together, a group of youth that have come together with the vision of reviving the Islamic spirit, reviving the Quran and the Sunnah amongst the youth and amongst the Muslim Ummah. And through this, or how they plan on doing this, or how they've been doing it, alhamdulillah, for the past few years, is by bringing on scholars, trusted scholars, mashallah, tabarakallah, in specific fields to deliver talks, to educate the masses, and bring back that Islamic spirit that we, anyway, in such a need of right now, honestly, wallahi. So may Allah bless them and preserve them, and grant them tawfiq with the best of their intentions. Now, alhamdulillah, I have the privilege, I've been given the privilege, mashallah, and the responsibility of introducing none other than Sheikh Ustadh Tim Humble in the last session. We've had thus far 2 sessions, the first of which was with regards to the first question, who is your Rabb? And this was conducted by none other than Sheikh Ibrahim Nuh. And then the second question was, what is your religion? And this was conducted by Sheikh Abdurrahman Hassan. And alhamdulillah, today we have the last question, which is, who is your prophet? And this will be delivered by none other than Sheikh Tim Humble. Now, who's Sheikh Tim Humble? I think most of us already know who he is, but just a brief introduction. He is a scholar, a teacher of knowledge, a revert to Islam, I believe from Newcastle in the UK. He graduated from the International Islamic University of Medina in 2011. He has several ijazat, mashallah, in all the 6 books of hadith. And he's a person who is known for his work with the youth and is known, mashallah, for his extensive work in da'wah, both online and offline. He has taught with very reputable institutions such as AMAU, Al-Madrasatu Al-Ummariya, Kalima, and also Knowledge College as well. So mashallah, tabarakallah, I'm sure he's not a stranger to many of us. And it's such an honor, such a pleasure. I was super excited because this is the first time I'm actually going to get to meet the Sheikh in person, or digitally or virtually. This is the new norm, isn't it? But alhamdulillah, it's such a great pleasure to have our Sheikh with us today. Walhamdulillah. So without further ado, I think it's very important we just know the flow of how today's talk is going to go. It's going to be a 1-hour talk, which the Sheikh is going to deliver, more or less, plus or minus a few minutes. And then after that, we're going to open for Q&As, questions and answers. And then once the questions and answers come in, inshallah, the Sheikh will entertain as much of the questions and answers as is possible, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So without further ado, I'll pass it on to our Sheikh. Jazakumullah khair.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. How are you doing, Sheikh?
I'm very, very well, jazakallahu khairan. I can just about hear you because the computer is a little bit far away from the camera.
Okay, subhanallah. How is it now? Is the sound better?
I'm very well.
Is the sound better now, Sheikh?
Sorry?
How's the sound? Is the sound better?
Yeah, I can hear just fine. I think it might help if it would probably have helped if I had an earpiece in, but it's absolutely fine, alhamdulillah. I haven't got it turned up too loud, so I can hear you just fine. Jazakallah khair.
MashaAllah, Sheikh. Jazakallah for joining us, alhamdulillah, and for accepting the invitation.
Wa iyyakum, I really appreciate the opportunity. It's really, really amazing to be able to join you guys today. I apologize that I was a little bit later than expected. I got kind of stuck on the way to
No worries. No worries, Sheikh. No worries at all. No worries at all. We understand. These kind of things happen, alhamdulillah. Okay.
The other thing is for everyone to be aware that because of the timings for the Salah in the UK in winter time, the timings between the Salah are extremely short. So basically when Dhuhr time comes in about 15 minutes, I'm going to go and pray and I'm going to come back because there's not even time in the lecture to wait till the end of the lecture. Dhuhr will finish. It's that the time is so short between Dhuhr and Asr is like maybe an hour and a half. It's like between Maghrib and Isha in most places.
So when you need a break for within 15 minutes of your talk, you need to take a quick break.
We're going to tell you when it comes. We're going to wait for the Iqamah. When the Iqamah comes, I'm in the masjid, in the place of the prayer. So I'm going to stand up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to come straight back. So it's going to be less than 10 minutes, inshallah. Ta'ala.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Jazakallah. I'll pass it on to you, inshallah, Sheikh. Jazakumullah khair.
Jazakallah khair. I really appreciate it.
Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So we begin as we always begin with the praise of Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to our messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, to his family and his companions. And as I said in the conversation that I was having with the brother, Jazahullahu Khairan, I first of all apologize to the people who are watching for the late start. It was one of those things that happened, Qaddar Allahu wa ma sha'a fa'al. And also the fact that we will be taking a break in around about 15 minutes. I will take a very short break in order to pray Dhuhr here in the masjid. And the reason for that is because I'm doing this talk from the UK, from Newcastle upon Tyne. And the times between Dhuhr and Asr are so short that there isn't even time to finish the lecture and pray Dhuhr. And between the lecture, we'll start at Dhuhr and finish at Asr. It's like that. So for that reason, I'm going to be, inshallah, I decided to do the talk in the masjid to make it easy. So inshallah, it will be a very short break. It will probably be around about 8 or 9 minutes, in around about 15 minutes time from now, inshallah. So our topic is, who is your prophet? Under the title, Questions from 6 Feet Under. And of course, we know the three questions that every single person will be asked in their grave. Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? Wa ma dinuk, and what is your religion? Wa man hadha ar-rajul alladhi bu'itha fikum, who is this man that was sent to you? Man nabiyuk, who is your prophet? And all of us know the importance of the shahada, the testimony of faith. When a person bears witness, la ilaha illallah, and they say, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. Wa ashhadu, and I bear witness, anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. And I want to start with this. I want to start with this because if we enter into Islam by testifying that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, then we need to understand the essence of the second part of the shahada. Because if we are to know our Prophet and we are to testify and say, ashhadu, I testify, I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, then for certain we need to know who Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, and we need to know how we can come to know him and how we can bear witness to his messengership in truth. And this is even more important when you bear in mind two things. First of all, you bear in mind the statement ashhadu is something you are testifying to. And you can only testify to something that you have knowledge of. So if we don't have knowledge of who our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, then we will not be able to truly testify that he is the Messenger of Allah. And to give a proof for that, we can mention the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. This is a very important ayah. أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ. Do they not know their messenger? فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. And so they reject him. And what I want you to take from this is that a person might reject the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they might reject what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought in terms of his sunnah, because they don't simply know who he was. They don't know enough about him. They don't know enough about his message. They don't know enough about what he brought. And so they reject him, or they reject his sunnah, or they reject a part of what he came with, because they don't know who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. Is it that they don't know who their messenger is, and therefore they reject the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now that could be rejecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in totality, like those people who don't accept that he's the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it could also be those people who reject his sunnah or part of his sunnah, because they simply don't know enough about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'm sure one of the things that you have learnt about so far is that these three questions in the grave appear to be extremely simple. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated that the fitna of these questions is like or similar to the fitna of al-Masih al-Dajjal, of the Dajjal. It's so severe and so serious and so difficult to answer these questions correctly that it is compared with the trial of al-Masih al-Dajjal. Is comparable to or similar to the trial of al-Masih al-Dajjal. And yet these three questions appear to be incredibly simple. Man Rabbuk? If I ask you now, and you guys are watching this at home, Man Rabbuk? Who is your Lord? You answer with complete ease. Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah, of course. Ma deenuk, deeni al-Islam, my religion is Islam. Man Nabiyuk? Nabiyyi Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You answer it with all ease. So what makes it difficult? What makes it difficult when you are in the grave is that Allah will not give the success and the tawfiq to be able to answer that question unless and until the person truly knows the answer to it. Not in terms of words that are said, but in terms of the meaning and the depth that exists behind those words. So for example, if we look at this question that we are talking about today, مَنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي بُعِثَ فِيكُمْ. Who was this man that was sent to you? Who was this man that was sent among you? It is easy now, even for a person who doesn't really truly believe in Islam. For example, the munafiq, the hypocrite. It's easy for them to say, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when it comes to answering that question in the grave, the only one who will be able to answer it is the one who gave it its true right in this life. And I will give you an evidence for that from the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. In Surah Ibrahim, Allah said, Allah will make firm those who believe with a firm word in this life and in the hereafter. And Allah will cause the oppressors to go astray, and Allah does whatever He wills. The tafsir of this ayah relates to the questioning in the grave. that if a person is firm upon La ilaha illallah in their life, so they will be firm upon La ilaha illallah when they are asked, Man Rabbuk? Who is your Lord? يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, in their life, they were firm upon La ilaha illallah. So in their grave, Allah Azza wa Jal will make them firm upon La ilaha illallah. The same can be said about Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why I'm talking about the ayah now in this context, that the person who truly knew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this life and strived to come to know him and strived to come to follow his sunnah and strived to be from those people who truly implement the meaning of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this person, Allah will make them able to answer the question, Man hadha ar-rajul alladhi bu'itha fikum? Who is this man that was sent among you? As for the person who gave it lip service, they gave it lip service. They said, we love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's our Prophet. But they didn't truly know him in this world. And they didn't truly follow him. And they weren't sincere, or they didn't have the required knowledge to do so, perhaps that person will not find it so easy to answer that question when they're asked, Man hadha ar-rajul alladhi bu'itha fikum? Who was this man who was sent among you? So one of the things that I wanted to say in my introduction to this talk today, that how you live your life will reflect upon how you answer that question when you are in your grave. If you lived your life upon La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you fulfilled its conditions and you implemented it and you practiced it in your life and you strive to be somebody who excelled in implementing that statement, then inshallah, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah will give you the ability, when it comes to that question in the grave, to be able to answer those questions correctly. And among those questions is the question that we're dealing with today, Muhammad Rasulullah, Man Nabiyuk? Who is that Prophet? Man hadha ar-rajul alladhi bu'itha fikum? Who was that man that was sent to you? There are many people who testified that man was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their lifetime, but they didn't have what was required to testify in the grave. For example, the munafiqun, the hypocrites. What do they say? قَالُوا نَشْهَدْ. They say, we bear witness. إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. You are certainly the messenger of Allah. What does Allah bear witness? Allah knows that Muhammad ﷺ is his messenger. وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. And Allah bears witness that those munafiqun, those hypocrites, when they said, Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah, we bear witness, you are the messenger of Allah, Allah bear witness that they were not telling the truth. Allah bear witness that they were lying in that testimony of theirs. And so they said the words in this dunya, but they were not able to testify that Muhammad ﷺ is the messenger of Allah when they were asked that question in their grave. They will not be able to answer that question. Man hadha ar-rajul alladhi bu'itha fikum? Why am I mentioning this? So that we understand that this is not a simple matter. It's not something where you knew that Muhammad ﷺ is the messenger of Allah, as even some of the non-Muslims, in fact, many of the non-Muslims. What did Allah say about them? يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبَنَاءَهُمْ. They know him like they know their own children. The Jews and the Christians, they know him like they know their own children. Do any of you not know if you have kids? Is there anybody among you who has kids and you don't recognize your children? You don't know your children? Your child comes to you, you say, oh, you're my son? You're my son? Every single one of you knows your own children. These people from among the non-Muslims, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the same way that they know their own children. And yet, that knowledge, it doesn't allow them to answer that question in the grave. They're not able to answer, مَنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي بُعِثَ فِيكُمْ, they can't answer the question even though they knew that this is the Messenger of Allah. And they knew who he was, and they knew it while they were alive. But they were not able to answer that question. So we've understood here, just knowing that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the Messenger of Allah, in terms of basic knowledge that this man, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, ibn Abdul Muttalib, this man, Muhammad, son of Abdullah, son of Abdul Muttalib, who was from the tribe of Bani Hashim, who was from the greater tribe of Quraysh, just knowing that he is Allah's messenger, that's not enough. That's not enough. Instead, there has to be more to be able to answer this question. And that is, inshallah ta'ala, the main topic that I want to deal with in this talk today. What more do we have to do? Of course, we have to know his name. Of course, we have to know generally who he was. Of course, we have to know that he was sent by Allah Azza wa Jal to all of mankind. وَأَرْسَلْنَاكَ لِلنَّاسِ رَسُولًا وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And we sent, Allah Azza wa Jal sent you as a messenger to all of mankind. And sufficient is Allah as a witness. But we understood that this is not enough in of itself. Instead, there has to be more than that. There has to be a shahada, a witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, that has to be based upon more than just knowing his name and more than just knowing that Allah sent him as a messenger. And that, inshaAllah ta'ala, is what we want to answer in this talk. But now I'm going to have to ask you for 5 minutes, inshaAllah ta'ala, while we pray Salatul Dhuhr. We'll be leaving the camera on. I don't know if the brothers are going to take over the connection or not. But the camera, the audio, everything, we leave it on. We're not going to disappear anywhere. We're going to, inshaAllah ta'ala, perform Salatul Dhuhr right now. It's the time of the Iqamah. And then I'm going to sit right back down immediately afterwards and continue the talk with you. We apologize for the short break. But as I said, where I am right now, there is no way to pray Dhuhr and Asr, or to wait till the class finishes to pray Dhuhr and Asr. The time is too short. So 5 minute break, inshaAllah ta'ala. And then we'll be back to talk about what you really need to do in order to be able to answer the question, من نبيك, who is your prophet, or من هذا الرجل الذي بعث فيكم, who was this man that was sent to you. 5 minute break, inshallah ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
بهجتنا انه يلا اللي تحبون في حزتها الاعياد وش باقي غير الاعياد في غمرة بهجتنا انه يلا اللي تحبون في حزتها الاعياد وش باقي غير الاعياد والعيد شرف بالحب الله يا حي ما دمنا مع بعضنا دامت مسعيد والعيد شرف بالحب الله يا حي ما دمنا مع بعضنا دامت مساعي دامت مساعي فيه الفرحة معهودة افرح وانسى احزاني فيه الضحكة معسودة داعبها بكل أشجاني فيه الفرحة معهودة
افرح وانسى أحزاني
فيه الضحكة معسودة
علمني كل ألحاني
ردد كلمة منشودة عيد مبارك بلحاني خلي العيد بحلولة فرحة وسامر خلاني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, brothers and sisters, Ramadan comes and goes just like that, and this is the norm we know about Ramadan. It always comes like this. We'll be waiting for it. And then, subhanAllah, before we realize, we will be starting saying that Ramadan is about to finish. So now we are done with almost two-thirds of the month of Ramadan. We're about to begin with the last 10 days of Ramadan, which are the most valuable days in the month of Ramadan. These 10 days are the days that you can find a Laylatul Qadr in them. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make them alive, as they mentioned in the hadith that kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuhyi al-layla kullahu. He used to make the night in these 10 days of Ramadan alive, all of the nights of these 10 days of Ramadan alive. And he used to ask somebody also to wake up those sisters at home so that they can come and benefit from this opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted this ummah. As such, my dear brothers and sisters, I really urge you not to forget yourself. Do remember that you have a long journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you need to put forward something that you will appreciate it when you see it in the future. And the future here, I meant by it, the day of judgment. And always remember the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, when he says, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمسين. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take advantage and the benefit of five things before the arrival of the other five things, which are the opposite of those first five mentioned issues. Number one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shababaka qabl haramik. Talking to the youth, use your energy. Wallahi, dear brother and sister, this is your opportunity. And as I always mention, you don't know. Maybe you might not live to see the next Ramadan. And as such, make use of these last 10 days of Ramadan. You might get Firdaus, you don't know, because this is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not by anybody else. You can do a little, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it so valuable in the way you can achieve and attain the Firdaus al-A'la with the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take advantage of the youth at that age that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you before the old age reach you, subhanAllah. So this is your opportunity, my dear brothers and sisters. Make this last 10 days, you know, alive. You know, sacrifice your time, sacrifice your life, you know, keep aside most of the dunya which are not necessary. Be busy with the ibadat. It is only 10 days. It says the youth before you reach the old age. So this is not restricted to the youth. It's for everyone, my dear brothers and sisters. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَصِحَّتَكَ قَبْلَ سَقَمِكَ. And also take advantage of your health before the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to test you comes, where you will be sick and you will not be able to go with the rituals. So put your health in these 10 days of Ramadan. Make use of it. You know, don't waste a single second in this month of Ramadan, especially in these last 10 days that we are facing, inshallah, in a few days to come. He says, وَصِحَّتَكَ قَبْلَ سَقَمِكَ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَغِنَاكَ قَبْلَ فَقْرِكَ. And also take advantage of your richness before the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you with some, poverty, restrictions. No. And as such, I really urge you to participate in giving charity, you know, stretch your hand and give from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted to you. You will appreciate it, my dear brothers and sisters, if you are sincere when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. That's your opportunity, my dear brothers and sisters. These are only 10 days. Give, give, give. Be moderate in giving, but give. Don't be so stingy against yourself. You will regret on the day of judgment. This charity that you are giving, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do it in these last 10 days of Ramadan. They describe his attitude and generosity in the last 10 days of Ramadan being better and far greater than Arrihu al-Mursala, the air we are using when we breathe. SubhanAllah. So he says, وَغِنَاكَ قَبْلَ فَقْرِكَ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَفَرَغَكَ قَبْلَ شُغْلِكَ. And also in the vast majority of the countries, you know, in these last 10 days of Ramadan, usually people have a break. You know, in many places they will have a break. At least a few days before the Eid, you're going to have a break. The workplace, they're going to give you some extension, some break. Make use of that. This is farag. Farag means the free time you are having before you become busy. Wallahi, these are the greatest advice that somebody can ever give to those whom he loves. Use the time and utilize your time And as I said, my dear brothers and sisters, this is your opportunity. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. You don't know, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might not grant you the same opportunity again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect. And then lastly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa hayataka qabla mawtik, and also take advantage of your life before you die. This is the opportunity you have. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you die, all of your deeds are going to be cut off. So make use of the life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you, because after death, you will not be able to participate in any righteous deed. So dear brothers and sisters, wallahi, you need these last 10 days of Ramadan. You really need them. And as such, I ask you to sacrifice your time, to make yourself free. These are only 10 days. They will come and pass just like that. Those who succeed, who succeed in it, you know, the smart and the wise people are those people who will heed this message, you know, and they focus on that which benefit them in these last 10 days of Ramadan. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for all of us, my dear brothers and sisters, to make use of these 10 days of Ramadan. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept us and to grant us opportunity to see the Laylatul Qadr. This Laylatul Qadr is just a night. You can find it in the odd days, odd nights of Ramadan, the last 10 days of Ramadan, either 21st, the 21st or the 23rd or the 25th or 27th or 29th. You know, one of them is going to be the Laylatul Qadr. And as such, my advice to all of us, my dear brothers and sisters, just to make the whole last 10 days of Ramadan alive. Don't be very selective, stingy upon yourself, and be very picky. You know, you're just looking for those odd nights. No, this is wrong for you. It will not benefit you. Just try your best and make every single night of the last 10 days of Ramadan alive. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, by doing this, you will definitely catch the Laylatul Qadr. You will definitely get it, because it is in one of these 10 days or 10 nights in the last part of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you opportunity to see this night, because it is greater and better than the deed of 1,000 months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So that's a great opportunity. You cannot get it anywhere else, my dear brothers and sisters. So pity yourself. Understand what I have told you, that this might be the last opportunity given to some of us, and we might be those people. We don't know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us opportunity and ability to make use of these last 10 days of Ramadan and forgive all of our sins. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafir. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu.
يا طالبا للعلم يرجو نفعه اسمع نصيحة ناصح معواني أخلص لربك في أمورك كلها فالمخلصون هم أصول العرفان فالجهد في جمع العلوم يضيع إن حل الرياء دواخل الإنسان واحفظ زمانك رأس مالك إنه هبة العظيم الواحد المنان ساعات يومك منحة ذهبية والناس بين الربح والخسران وعليك بالخلق الكريم مع التقى وعليك بالأدب الرفيع الشان واحفظ كتاب الله واستمسك به فالعلم كل العلم.
Okay, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our sincere apologies, guys, for the short break, but alhamdulillah, I think that was a good refresher for everybody. And alhamdulillah, our sheikh is back with us, so the session will start again straight away, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, sheikh. Welcome back.
We're ready to continue, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, khalas. Khair, inshallah. Pass it to you, Shaykh.
Barakallahu feekum.
Jazakumullah khair.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen, Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So just once again to let everyone know what happened and just keep everybody up to date with where we are. So we started around about half an hour ago. We did an introduction to the topic, and then it came the time for Dhuhr prayer in the masjid, so I had to go and take a break. There are no more prayers scheduled now till the end of the class, so I'll be with you now for the next hour until Asr time starts, inshallah. So inshallah ta'ala, we're not expecting any more breaks in the middle. And we started with talking about the importance of the topic, and we started talking about why just knowing that Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib from the tribe of Hashim, from the greater tribe of Quraysh, just knowing that fact isn't enough to be someone who can answer the question, من نبيك, who is your prophet, or the question, من هذا الرجل الذي بعث فيكم, who is this man that was sent among you? So then the question we have to ask ourselves is, to really bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, what do we need? We need something more. We need something more than that. Just to bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, we need more than just a basic knowledge of who he is. Because the basic knowledge of who he is, Allah already told us that the people of Ahlul Kitab, they know him like they know their own children. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. So just knowing him as in terms of factually who he was, that's not enough. So now the question is, what do we need? Let's start by talking about three essential things that we need to bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah in truth. And if we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah in truth, then inshallah we can apply the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. In other words, those who live true to the statement in this world, they will be able to answer that question, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, when it comes to the grave and the questioning of the grave. Those who live the statement truthfully in this world will be able to answer the statement truthfully in their grave. Three essential things that we need. The first essential thing that we need is that we need to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what the scholars, they explain it when they say ta'atuhu fima amar, to obey him in what he commanded us. And we need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent every single messenger to be obeyed. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Every single messenger that was sent to be obeyed. And when we talk about obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we talk about following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, if you really love Allah, then follow me. Say, if you really love Allah, then follow me. So here the issue is following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And part of that is obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. We sent this messenger to be obeyed, Allah tells us. To be obeyed. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. By Allah, so know by your Lord, they do not believe until they make you a judge in all of their disputes. And then they feel no harm or no hardship over what you have decided for them, and they submit with complete submission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They don't believe until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the judge in what they dispute over. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. If you disagree about something, bring it back to Allah and to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you really believe in Allah and the last day. So we are commanded to obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. to actually implement what he told us. The more we obey him and the more we implement what he told us, the closer we come to actualizing and achieving the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, all of us disobey Allah at times. We know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kullu bani Adama khata'." Every son of Adam is a frequent sinner. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. And the best of those who frequently sin are those who frequently repent. It's not the case you will never disobey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the issue here is that you realize it's not knowing him. It's not just I know his name. But I actually agreed and I have submitted to Allah that I am going to actually obey what he told me. I'm going to strive to implement what he told me. And I'm going to strive to put into practice what he commanded me to do and what he prohibited me from doing. And when we talk about obedience, that means obedience in what he commanded and it means obedience in what he prohibited. In the sense, keeping away from what he told you to keep away from and implementing what he told you to implement. So this is an essential part of living the shahada, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. And if we live that shahada, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, we will be able to answer that question successfully in our grave, inshallah ta'ala. So that is the commitment to obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The commitment to make him our judge in the things that we dispute. The commitment that if we differ over something, we bring it back to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we can't bring it back to him as a person, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. We can't bring it to him as an individual, but we bring it back to his sunnah after he passed away. So to keep this sunnah and to have this sunnah in a high position and to take the commands from it and to keep away from the prohibitions that are mentioned within it, this is an essential part of answering that question, man nabiyuk, who is your prophet? Your prophet is the one that you followed. Your prophet is the one that you tried to obey. Your prophet is the one that you tried to keep away from what he prohibited. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Whatever the messenger gives you, take it. And whatever the messenger forbids you from, abstain from it. And have taqwa of Allah, because Allah is severe in punishment to those people who don't take what the messenger gave and those people who don't keep away from what the messenger prohibited. More than that, if we disobey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we come under a threat of punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever opposes the messenger after guidance is clear to them and they follow a way other than the way of the believers, we will give them to what they have entrusted themselves, or we will entrust them to what they have chosen, and we will put them into Jahannam. And what a terrible destination. What is that for? May yushaqiq al-rasul. Yushaqiq al-rasul, it means that the word shaqqa is to cut something in half, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, اتَّقِ النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَ. Keep yourself away, protected from the fire, even if it's only half a date. And you cut a date in half, you give half in charity, half for yourself. So this word shaq, it means half of something. يُشَاقِقْ الرَّسُولِ, it's like you are on one side of a valley and he's on the other side. He's going and he's commanding you to do one thing and you're doing the complete opposite. So that kind of thought and that kind of practice in your life, it has the danger of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told, that this person is going to be left to their own devices and this person is going to be put into Jahannam, and what a terrible destination. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us another threat of punishment for the one who opposes the obedience to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let those people take a warning. Those people who go against his command, because there is a danger, those people will fall into a fitna. They will fall into a fitna. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he said here, the fitna is shirk. They're going to make a partner with Allah. Or they will be given a severe punishment. So here again, we're told that refusing to obey the Prophet ﷺ, distancing yourself from obedience to the Prophet ﷺ, it leads a person to make a partner with Allah. And so all of this, if we look at answering this question in the grave, the very first thing we took, apart from the idea that it's not just lip service, you have to live it and you have to practice it, is that we understood that the Prophet was sent to be obeyed, and that Allah threatened a severe punishment for those people who oppose him, and those people who don't obey him, and those people who don't go back to him in their disputes, and those people who don't make him a judge between them in what they differ over. All of that is part of obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I said, it's not that we are not going to make mistakes. We will make mistakes. It's not that we're not going to fail sometimes in our obedience. But it's the commitment that a person has, that I have a commitment to live my life to the best of my ability in obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said even more than that, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. Why is that? How can that be? Whoever obeys the Prophet ﷺ has obeyed Allah. Because Allah said, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't speak from his own desire. It is only a revelation that is revealed. So the Prophet ﷺ did nothing more than to convey what Allah told him, than to transmit to the people what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to transmit and to convey. And so when you obey the Prophet ﷺ, you obey Allah Azza wa Jal. Everything the Prophet ﷺ gave you, you try your best to implement it and to take it and to practice it. And whatever he prohibited you from, you try your best to keep away from it. And when you fall short, which you will do, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Istaqimu wa lan tuhsu." He said, stand up firm in Islam, but you won't be able to be perfect. And he said, سَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. He said, try to do the right thing and come as close as you can. You're not going to be perfect in your obedience, but your commitment and dedication to obey the Prophet ﷺ and to keep away from what the Prophet ﷺ prohibited you from, this is an essential part of saying أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and being able to answer that question, مَنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ أَلَّذِي بُعِثَ فِيكُمْ. Who was this man that was sent among you? The second essential part of living the shahada that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah is tasdiquhu fi ma akhbar, is that you believe in everything the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you about. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about many matters of the unseen, many matters that we only know of those things through him. He told us about Allah. He told us about Al-Yawm Al-Akhir. He told us about the angels. He told us about the affairs of the previous prophets and the previous nations that we did not know about. He told us about the, as we said, the last day. He told us about paradise and hellfire. He told us about the world of the unseen, the world of the angels and the world of the jinn and so on. There are so many things the Prophet ﷺ told us about, that we only know of those things through him. We didn't know of them. We didn't have any other. I mean, maybe some of the previous prophets, there was some other information we had about them before. But much of what the Prophet ﷺ told us, we only know of it through him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you want an example of what it means to believe in what the Prophet ﷺ informed us about without hesitation and without doubt, like Allah Azza wa Jalla said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. The only people who are really believers are those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. And then they do not doubt. If you want an example of what it means to believe in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without any doubt, there is no better example than the Siddiq of this Ummah, Abu Bakr As-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken on his night journey, and he was taken from Mecca to Bayt al-Maqdis, where he led the prophets in prayer, and then he was taken up to Sidratul Muntaha, to the final highest place in paradise. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah spoke to him directly, and Allah revealed to him the five daily prayers. And then he returned to this earth, and he returned to his place in Mecca in a single night. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed the people of this, the people of Quraysh, they began to ridicule him. They began to say, who is this person? Look at the story he's telling you. He's telling you not only he went all the way to Jerusalem and came back in one night, then he went to the heavens and so on. Who is the person who instantly believed in what the Prophet ﷺ said? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And for this, he was given the name as-Siddiq, the one who is the truthful believer. I think that's a good translation for Siddiq, right? A truthful believer. Because he believed in what the Prophet ﷺ said without any hesitation. They came to him and they said, Abu Bakr, your companion says that he traveled to Jerusalem and back in one night. Do you believe him? Abu Bakr said, indeed, I believe him. I believe him in what is more than that. I believe him in something stranger than that. I believe him in what he tells me from the news of the heavens, and what he tells me that Allah said from revelation, I believe in him. When Abu Bakr believed without hesitation in what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he was given the title Siddiq. And he's not the only one. There are more than just Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that was given this title. From those who were given the title is Maryam alayhi salam, wa ummuhu Siddiqah. She was a Siddiqah alayhi salatu wasalam. She was a Siddiqah. So this belief in the prophets, and this fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we believe in what he said, this is extremely, extremely important as a part of testifying that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, living the testimony, and therefore being able to answer the question when you're asked it in the grave. Now I'm going to take this to a very modern example of this and implementation of this. There are many. Generally speaking, Islam is not a religion that contradicts what we see with our eyes, right? You know, Islam is not a religion that tells you the sky is green and the grass is blue. And Islam is a religion that, generally speaking, is in line with the world that we live in, because it's the truth. It's the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told us, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا اتَّبَعُوا الْبَاطِلِ وَأَنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّبَعُوا الْحَقَّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ أَمْثَالَهُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal told us, the believers, the people who believe, they're following the truth from Allah. And therefore, this religion is not a religion that contradicts what we see in front of our own eyes. But there are things that the world of science today, and let's be honest, the world of science became like a religion. In fact, for an atheist, science is their religion. Science is their God, their ilah. That's the ilah that they worship. That's the one they have such yaqeen in it. Perhaps you will not see people with yaqeen like the yaqeen they have in science. They will tell you, this science is going to answer to me the question of what will happen when I die. It just hasn't answered it yet. It will though, in the future, inshallah, it will. That's the idea they have, without the inshallah, of course. But that's the idea they have. There are some times that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us may not agree with what we read in the textbooks, like biology or physics or chemistry, or what we read in about what people believe to be true in the world today. It's not very often that happens, but sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens. In that case, you really see the people who truly believe what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about. Those people, they don't look at all at anything else. They only look at one question. Is it authentic? If that was what the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's authentically reported from him, I believe in it, whether science agrees or not, whether it's what I understand or I don't understand. If it's authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I believe in it. And I'll give you an example of one that is very, very common. The hadith of the sun prostrating under the arsh, that every single night the sun makes sajda, it prostrates under the arsh of Allah and it asks for permission to rise again. And Allah gives it permission until the day when the sun will rise from the west. And in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give it permission to rise from its normal rising place. It will be said to go back to where you came. This hadith, many people come. They say, I cannot accept it. You say, why? I cannot accept it because it doesn't go in line with what I know of science. And the sun goes, the world goes around the sun, or the sun goes around the world. And you know, the sun rises like this and the world is spinning, and where it's night, it's day. We're going to explain why that answer is not a good answer. The answer they give is why they're thinking in completely the wrong way. But that's not the point that I wanted to mention. The point I wanted to mention is this. You know the Prophet ﷺ said it. So now why do you doubt? Why do you think it doesn't make sense to me? How can it be? The Prophet ﷺ said it. That's it. That's all Abu Bakr cared about. He didn't care, is it possible to reach Jerusalem in a night and come back? He didn't care about, do we have evidence he went to Jerusalem? Did he describe the road? Are you sure he said it? He just wants to know, did he say it or not? If the Prophet ﷺ said it, we believe it. That's it. If the Prophet ﷺ said it, we believe it. Without any doubt. If the Prophet ﷺ authentically said, which he did, that the sun prostrates below the arsh every single night, that is the truth. That's the truth. It doesn't bother me whether the scientists agree with it or don't agree with it. It doesn't concern me. It only concerns me, did the Prophet ﷺ say it or not? If he said it and it's authentic, that's all I need. I don't need anything else. Now here, there is a question which comes out naturally, which is, okay, how do we talk about this hadith then? It's very simple. The Prophet ﷺ is telling you about the ghaib. He's telling you about a world that doesn't fall under the physical world that science is even talking about. And where is the arsh? And in terms of science, if you ask a physicist, where is the arsh? And it's not in their remit, right? He's going to say, you're asking me something that's above my pay grade. It's not in my remit. Therefore, there is no concern about the sun making sajda under the arsh. There is no issue with it. Because the whole hadith is talking about a world that we have no knowledge about, except what the Prophet ﷺ told us about. The world of the unseen. What did Allah Azza wa Jalla say at the beginning of the Quran? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُخِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Those people who believe in the unseen and perform the prayer and spend out of what we have provided for them. So there's no doubt here that this hadith is not problematic at all. But my point is just to give an example of something where people don't implement what I'm talking about. They don't take what the Prophet said and believe in it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Instead, they say, oh, I don't know if I can believe in that. I'm not sure if that matches science. I'm not sure if that hadith is correct or not, because it doesn't match what science tells me. The whole point is, if it's authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we believe it. And we also believe that it will not contradict al-aql as-salim. It will not contradict a sound mind and sound scientific theory. It won't contradict it. However, the point is it authentic from the Prophet ﷺ? If it is, we believe in it, regardless of whether we understand the details of it or not. We believe in it like Abu Bakr believed when he was told the Prophet ﷺ went to Jerusalem and came back in one night, which was impossible in the time of Abu Bakr, remember. It was an impossibility. And yet he believed in it because once he knew the Prophet ﷺ said it, that was all that mattered. And that's all that should matter for us. And yes, there is an answer. Like I've explained, there's an answer for every hadith that people are unsure about or have questions about. But as a Muslim, should you be waiting for that answer? No. You should only be waiting to know, is it authentic from the Prophet ﷺ or not? If it's authentic, I believe in it. Regardless of whether people have an issue with that or not, if it's authentic, I believe in it. So now we've spoken about two essential things to be able to answer this question in the grave. The first is that during your life, you strive with everything you can to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the second thing is that during your life, whenever there comes to you something from what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed you about, whether it is the end of time, whether it is about Allah, whether it is about Allah's names and attributes and actions, whether it's about paradise or hellfire, whether it's about the world of the unseen, like the angels and the jinn, if you know the Prophet ﷺ said it and it's authentic, you believe in it. That is required to be able to answer that question in the grave. And all those people who doubted the ahadith and they said, I'm not sure, I don't know. I don't know if those people will be able to answer the question, man nabiyuk, who is your prophet? Because they didn't implement it in their life. They didn't implement it and live it during their life. The third thing, أَنْ لَا يُعْبَدَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِمَا شَرَعَ, that you only worship Allah the way the Prophet ﷺ showed you. Many people today, and if we look at the situation of Muslims in the world today, wallah, we see a very sad situation, that many people try to get near to Allah in a way that was not the way the Prophet ﷺ gave for us. And they follow practices and beliefs that were not from the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ didn't give to them. And they say, I'm worshipping Allah, so it's okay. You know, I'm not worshipping someone else. I'm not worshipping a statue. I'm worshipping Allah. But they're not worshipping Allah the way the Prophet ﷺ showed us how to do it. And for this, we have the hadith reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. Whoever introduces something into this religion of ours which is not from it, it will be rejected. And the hadith, which is in the wording of Muslim, the riwayah of Imam Muslim, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever does an action which is not in accordance with our command, it will be rejected. And therefore we understand that to truly bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, and to be able to answer that question, man nabiyuk, who is your prophet, we have to strive to worship Allah the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam showed us. I'll give you a simple example so that everybody can understand. I just prayed Salat al-Dhuhr and I excused myself from the class for 5 minutes, 10 minutes to go and pray Salat al-Dhuhr. In this time, I prayed Salat al-Dhuhr 4 rak'at. That's what we prayed in the masjid. Somebody comes along and says, let's make it 5. 5 is better than 4, right? A person wants to do as many good deeds as they can. Fastabiqul khayrat, do as many good deeds as you can. Race to do as many good deeds. 5 is better than 4. Every one of us watching this video would turn around and say, no, 5 is not better than 4. 4 rak'at for Salat al-Dhuhr is the best. Why? Because that's what the Prophet ﷺ did. Would it be accepted if someone prays 5 rak'at for Dhuhr? You'd say no. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever does an action that's not in accordance with our sunnah, it will be rejected. So a person understood that you have to do every single act of worship the way that the Prophet ﷺ showed you how to do it. And again, in this time, there is such a pressure on people to find other ways to worship Allah, to come near to Allah through things the Prophet ﷺ never did and his companions never did. And here I want to emphasize the importance of the companions. Why? Because of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal didn't just say about opposing the Prophet ﷺ, opposing the Prophet and following a way other than the way of the companions. So when we try to worship Allah, we need to have two things. We need to worship Allah the way the Prophet ﷺ worshipped Allah. And we need to understand the way the Prophet ﷺ worshipped Allah in light of what the companions radiallahu anhum did. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. If they believe as you people believe, then they are rightly guided. وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ. And if they turn away, then they are only in disarray and they are only in a state of opposing the Prophet ﷺ, if they oppose the belief of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And we know the Prophet ﷺ said, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي, stick to my sunnah. وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. And stick to the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa after me. So it's not only about worshipping Allah the way the Prophet ﷺ showed us, But understanding the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum wa ardahum, and the person who worships Allah the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed them, and they avoid all of what the Prophet called sallallahu alaihi wasallam muhtathat al-umur, newly invented beliefs and practices. And if a person keeps away from those newly invented beliefs and practices, and they follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, and they worship Allah the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed them, and the way that the companions understood the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then through this, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, a person can be said to be truly worshipping Allah the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us how to worship him. And if you really want to follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or if you really want Allah to love you, you have to follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we mentioned the ayah in Surah Ali Imran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, if you really love Allah, then follow me and Allah will love you. And Allah will only love you if you follow the way that the Prophet ﷺ did things in terms of worshipping Allah. And we understood from the other evidences that requires us to follow the way of the companions, alayhim as-salatu wassalam. I'm going to summarize what I've said so far, and I've got some more points to mention, then I'm going to go to Q&A, inshallah. I know we're a little bit late, but we try to finish it quickly, inshallah. So I wanted to highlight what I said so far. The first thing that I said is that it's not sufficient to just know the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and just to know that Allah sent him as a prophet. And we know this because of Surah Al-Munafiqun, of the Munafiqun and what they said, because they said that we bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah, but they didn't bring the conditions for it. And we know the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal regarding the Jews and the Christians, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبَنَاءَهُمْ, they know him like they know their own children, that just knowing about him is not enough. Rather, to really answer this question in your grave, who is your prophet, you have to live the answer in your lifetime. And to live the answer in your lifetime, you need three essential things. Three essential things. The first thing is you need to try your best to obey the Prophet ﷺ and to keep away from everything that he commanded you to keep away from. The second thing is you need to believe in what the Prophet ﷺ told you, regardless of whether it agrees with what you knew before or you didn't, or it agrees with your understanding of the world or it doesn't. You, as soon as you know that it's authentic, you believe in it. And the third thing is the only way that you worship Allah is through the way that the Prophet ﷺ showed you and the way that his companions understood and they followed. And if you are able to do these three things, then you really are living the statement that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. And if you live that statement that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, then by the permission of Allah, you will die upon that statement and you will be able to answer that question in your grave. There are some other points that I wanted to talk about, just kind of additional to that. That was the main message that I wanted to talk about how a person has to live their life in order to be able to answer that question and the importance of following the sunnah, is that we need, in order to know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in order to do these three things, in order to obey him and in order to believe in what he told us and in order to be able to worship Allah the way that he showed us, all of these things require knowledge. None of these things can be achieved without knowledge. And therefore, knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowledge of who he was, and this we can call it his seerah and his shama'il, knowledge of his sunnah, what he brought and what he commanded, this is essential if we want to be able to answer this question in the grave. And no doubt there is an obligatory part and a voluntary part. Not all of it is obligatory. But a person wants to strive to learn as much of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as possible, and as much of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah and teachings as possible. Otherwise, the danger is we go back to the ayah we mentioned in the beginning. أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. Is it that they don't know their messenger and so they reject him? So we need to know the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we need to know the sunnah of the Prophet in general, what he taught, what he commanded, what he prohibited, what he told us about. And in this, knowing the Quran is not enough, because the Quran told us that we have to bring the sunnah along with it. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the messenger gives you, take it. Whatever the messenger tells you to keep away from, abstain from it. And we already spoke about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنْ يُطِعُ وَمَنْ يُطِعُ الرَّسُولُ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ مَنْ يُطِعُ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys, the messenger has obeyed Allah. And we talked about how Allah commands us to go back to فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, to go back to Allah and back to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that being the case, we need to have knowledge of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we need to have knowledge of the seerah. And the great benefit of knowledge from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that it gives you a practical example. You learn who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. You learn his name, his lineage, his shama'il, his shama'il, how he looked and how he behaved. You learn how his life went by in Mecca and in Medina, and you learn practical examples of implementing the Quran and the Sunnah, how he did it and how his companions did it, radiallahu anhum. So it's very important that we learn the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when we learn the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what's really important in this is that we learn the seerah in a practical way. Sometimes we learn the seerah like stories. We learn the seerah sometimes like stories. You know, it's like a story. Sadly, it's become like asatirul awwaleen. These are the stories of the older people, you know, like this is what some people in the past did. And it's not something you live or practice in your life. When you learn the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, you have to learn what that means for you. What do you take out from it? What are the fawaid, the benefits? What are the ahkam, the rulings? What are the things that you can implement in your life? Because we know that Allah Azza wa Jalla said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are on the highest standard of character. You have the best standard of manners. And so to get that out of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to apply it in a practical way and take practical lessons from that seerah. And that's part of making the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a role model, right? To make him our role model, because Allah Azza wa Jal called him Uswatun Hasana. He is the best role model for you. To make him a role model, you have to know enough of his life and his manners, his behavior, his characteristic, his teachings, his commands, his prohibitions, to be able to emulate him and to make him that role model in your life. And again, I want to emphasize that that has to be done in light of the companions, radiallahu anhum, and what they called to and how they implemented it. Because nobody took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a role model better than the companions, radiallahu anhum. They took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the best example of a role model, and they implemented it in their life in the best possible way. And so when we emulate them, we emulate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they were the best example of those people who emulated our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and took him as a role model. So inshallah ta'ala, it was a long topic to talk about. I hope that we covered the most important parts of being able to answer the question. And I think if I was to give you one message that I would want you to take home, it's that how you live your life today and how you live your life in terms of saying that Muhammad ﷺ is the messenger of Allah will determine how you are able to answer that question in your grave, من نبيك, who is your prophet, or the question, من هذا الرجل الذي بعث فيكم, who was this man that was sent to you. So inshallah ta'ala, I think it's time for Q&A. I have inshallah, you maybe can either turn up the volume or you can just read the Q&A form. It depends on how you're going to do it.
Alhamdulillah, Sheikh. Jazakallah khairan. Before we jump to Q&A, how much time do we have left?
I have 20 minutes before the Iqama for Asr. It's very fast, comes very fast here.
Okay, halas khairan, inshallah. Let's make the best of the 20 minutes. We have a few inshallah questions that are already coming. But for those who haven't sent in their questions, please do, inshallah, don't hesitate. We'll treat it on a first-come, first-served basis. Any questions that aren't entertained, you can just drop a message for the Revivers team, inshallah, and we'll try our best to see how we can help you. So the first question that came in, Sheikh, is, can you please recommend a few videos or audio lectures to learn more about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
So recommend videos or audio lectures. You know, I'm not sure about video or audio lectures, but let's start. Maybe we could start with books. Books are a little easier because I can start by recommending the book, and then maybe you can find, you know, people who are explaining that. Because one thing I'm not great at is being very aware of like all the different videos that are being made and things. But let me see if I can recommend some books to start with. Okay. So I think if you are, I'm going to talk about English language. I'll not talk about Arabic because Arabic is a whole different topic. But if we talk about the English language and we talk about books in the English language, I think as a start, as a first book in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then one of the best books that you can take in the English language is The Sealed Nectar. And The Sealed Nectar, if you find that to be a little bit too long and a little bit too complicated, there's a summary of it called When the Moon Split. And this is a very, very beautiful book. It's very well written. And it's very summarized in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In terms of learning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just the seerah, but learning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the English language, I would always recommend people to start with the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, which is translated, plenty of translations and explanations in the English language, for a person to know the most important things from the sunnah. And then maybe to go to a book of rulings and ahkam like Bulugh al-Maram. So these again, like if a person was to learn the seerah from The Sealed Nectar, and they were then to take the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, and maybe to take the Shama'il of the Prophet ﷺ by Imam al-Tirmidhi. This is another great book in the topic of seerah, Shama'il al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Imam al-Tirmidhi. And then they were to take a book of rulings like Bulugh al-Maram. I feel like with this, a person would have covered a lot about the life of the Prophet ﷺ, his person and his teachings. So on the teaching side, we have the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi and maybe something like Bulugh al-Maram. On the side of seerah, maybe a person can take The Sealed Nectar and they can take the Shama'il of the Prophet ﷺ, his personal characteristics, which is a book by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. These books, are the reason I mention them is not because they're the only books, but because they're so common, it's easy to find your teachers explaining them. It's easy to find people who've explained the Sealed Nectar or the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ from The Sealed Nectar. It's easy to find people who've explained Shama'il al-Nabi by Imam al-Tirmidhi. I explained it once. I have a complete set that I did for a TV channel. And I have like a smaller one on YouTube. And also in terms of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, if a person covers the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi and maybe a book of rules and regulations like Bulugh al-Maram, I feel like a person would have a good understanding of who the Prophet ﷺ is and a good understanding of what he taught in a basic way. And from there are many, many hundreds and hundreds of books written on the seerah, written on the books of hadith that gather the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. I would add to that one book also, which is very beneficial for learning the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in terms of just people who want to know more about what he encouraged and follow his manners and his etiquettes, is the book Riyadh al-Salihin by Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, because this will give them the things the Prophet ﷺ encouraged people to do, and you know, things, the good deeds that he encouraged to do and the manners that he encouraged people to have. So I think these kind of things, people can find it very easily. Other than that, in terms of recommending specific videos, it's difficult for me, Allah. I'm not great with knowing about different series and who explained which thing, but in the English language, I think that's a good place to start, inshallah.
Jazakallah, inshallah, Sheikh, if you know any books that are good for teens, inshallah, they can recommend, I think that will be helpful for the parents.
Okay,
well.
books for younger people. I think that the one thing that I am concerned about is that often books, especially as you get towards younger people, if it's for teens, When the Moon Split is a good book of seerah. But if you go, when you start to go to some books that are written for very young children, The concern is that sometimes they are not always as authentic as they should be. And sometimes the authors can, like be a bit relaxed with the information they present because they think they're presenting it to young children. So I would say if you are looking at a book for younger children, it's really important to actually check that that book is authentic. I don't have any particular recommendations off the top of my head, but I would definitely say, you know, to look at, to make sure that the books you give to your children about the seerah are authentic in the sense that they are presenting reliable, verified, authentic things that the Prophet ﷺ did and not kind of being relaxed about it because of the fact that it's only for children or it's only for younger people, so it doesn't matter what we write. But I would recommend When the Moon Split is a good book for teenagers about the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. It's a good book.
Okay, Jazakallah. Okay, the next question that came up is, what are some practical remedies if a person is unable to be firm and committed and dedicated to obeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
I think the first thing is that a person has to realize what is required of them. If a person realizes what is required of them, they say, look, I know that what Allah requires of me is to commit myself to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the first thing. Then the second thing is to realize that you can't achieve that without Allah's help. And that's the reason why in every single rak'ah of every single prayer, we recite, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. Because we cannot achieve anything in our life, whether it's obedience to the Prophet ﷺ or anything else without the help of Allah. And then the third step is that if we've realized that we need Allah's help, so the first thing is we realize that Allah requires us to obey the Prophet ﷺ. The second thing is we realize that we need Allah's help and we've asked Allah to help us. The third thing is that we do as much as we can. There are many, many opportunities to obey the Prophet ﷺ. And a person may say, well, you know, I'm not able to do this particular thing. Strive against yourself, no doubt, because striving against yourself is a major part of Islam, fighting against yourself and striving against yourself and, you know, trying to overcome your bad habits and things like that. But look at other opportunities. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق. Don't belittle any good deed, even if it's just meeting your brother with a smiling face. If there's something you find difficult, there'll be another thing that you find easy. So it's about, first of all, recognizing that Allah requires you to obey the Prophet ﷺ. Second of all, genuinely and sincerely asking Allah's help. And the third thing is doing the best you can. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. He said, if I command you to do something, do as much of it as you can. So a person sometimes is saying, well, you know, I'm not going to, for example, I'm struggling to obey the Prophet ﷺ in, let's say, for example, I don't know, something like, I'm struggling to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in, let's say, for example, the beard, for example. But then that's not an excuse to leave off all of the other things that, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to do. Rather, do as many of them as you can. Try to find opportunities here and there. Perhaps Allah, because of you following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that thing, Allah will make it easy for you to follow him in other things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in guidance. وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدَى. Allah gives an increase in guidance to those who are guided. So I believe it's not a matter of everything or nothing, but it's a matter of taking as much as you possibly can and seeking Allah's help and fighting against yourself in terms of your bad habits and trying to overcome the areas where you're struggling to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asking Allah's forgiveness when you fall short.
Jazakallah khair, Jazakallah khair. The third question, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned habbat as-sawda, that is the black seed, is medicine for all diseases except death. What about doctors or medical personnel who do not believe this?
No, it's required to believe it. It's required to believe it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it and it's authentic. It's required to believe it. But a person, what they should do is, they should be honest and say, I don't understand the full implementation of it. Like, I don't know how to use black seed for all of those things, or I don't know how to use it as a medicine, but I believe what the Prophet ﷺ said. the black seed is a cure for everything except death. I believe that. I don't know the details of it. Maybe I don't know how to use it as a cure in different situations. Maybe I need to go back to understand the meaning of the hadith better from the explanation in terms of what does that hadith mean? Does it mean every sickness, or does it mean the majority of sicknesses? Or, you know, I may need to understand the hadith better, but I believe in the hadith in the sense of I believe that that is the truth, and I believe that's what the Prophet ﷺ said. So sometimes the problem is a person can reject something that the Prophet ﷺ said because they don't understand it, or they don't understand the implementation of it. And that's a mistake. Rather, the person should ask, is it authentic? Yes. Therefore, I believe in it. What is now obligatory on me is to find out more about what it means and more about how to implement it in my life. Because there may be many doctors who don't know how to use black seed as a cure or as a medicine, or they don't know how to use it in certain situations. That doesn't mean the hadith is not true. It's just that we don't have knowledge of that specific implementation while we believe what the Prophet ﷺ said was true. So I guess what I'm saying is there's a difference between believing it to be true and knowing the full details or the full kind of implementation of what the Prophet ﷺ said. Many times the Prophet ﷺ said something, we don't know how to implement it in full. As a person, me personally, I don't know how to implement it in full. And the evidence for that is the hadith of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhuma, when he said, when the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. This hadith is a proof that there are issues from what the Prophet ﷺ said that many people don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to implement it or how to put it into practice. لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Many people don't know how to put it into practice. So that shows you that not every time there's a difference between, for example, when Abu Bakr believed the Prophet ﷺ went from Makkah to Jerusalem and back in a night. Did he have to know how he went? Did he have to know what was the Buraq like? How big was it? What color was it? Did he have to know, did the Buraq take one step to get there or two? He just had to know. The Prophet ﷺ said, I went there and came back. That's what I believe. So a person, for example, a doctor says, I don't really understand the details of black seed. I don't really know how to implement it. I don't really know how it's a cure. That's fine. That's, you know, but you believe that the Prophet ﷺ said it and it's true, if that makes sense. And Allah knows best.
Jazakallah, Shaykh. And I think this is, it's a golden opportunity. I think this question is really important because unfortunately, as Muslims, we have a wealth of knowledge, isn't it, Shaykh? That unfortunately, we are not exploring. We're leaving it off to, unfortunately, the non-Muslims to do all of the studies and the research, and then we take that and we want to implement it. But then when we have so much that Allah has guided us to, unfortunately, we take it for granted. And I think it's a wake-up call, and for us to, inshallah, look into these kind of things, because I believe there are other similar ahadith, I think also with regards to hijama, isn't it, Sheikh?
Yeah, no doubt. Hijama is mentioned. Also, what is mentioned is drinking honey. The cure for everything is in three things, the blade of the hijama and the drink of honey, and in cautery, except that cautery has been prohibited for this ummah, or as the Prophet ﷺ said. So the matter is something that to begin with we believe in it because the Prophet ﷺ said it. But then following on from there, we may not know the details of it, and we need to go back to the books of hadith and research it and study it. And from the best of the places you could go back, if it's a medical issue like that, is to go back to the book of Ibn Qayyim, Zad al-Ma'ad. And this book has been translated into English, another book to add to our list. I've mentioned some books before. Let's add another book. Let's add a book called Provisions of the Hereafter by Ibn Qayyim. He talks about the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ in different issues. And what was the Prophet's guidance in medicine? What was the Prophet ﷺ's guidance in terms of a different this issue or that issue? How did he advise us to use honey, for example? And from this is taken out a book called The Medicine of the Prophet ﷺ. But that book itself is just part of Zad al-Ma'ad. It's part of the book, Provisions of the Hereafter by Ibn Qayyim. And I believe the book has been translated into English, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a very good place to start for something like that in terms of research.
Jazakallah, Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. The next question, inshallah, is how much is obligatory for us to know about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
What's obligatory is to know enough about him that your belief in him is firm and you have what you need to be able to follow him and to be able to obey him and to be able to believe in him. So for sure, a person needs to know at least enough to be able to truthfully bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah and to be able to obey the Prophet. Now, it's not a requirement for someone to know, for example, the entire seerah from beginning to end, but it is required for them to know enough of what they need to be able to actually follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we described in the lecture. And that does require knowledge. Like we said, those three things, obeying him and believing in him and worshipping Allah the way that he showed us, it does require knowledge. And there are certain things that if a person doesn't have knowledge in those things, they could fall to the state of even not believing that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. How many non-Muslims reject something about Islam, for example, because they have a wrong impression of what Islam is? They didn't get them, they don't have enough knowledge of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught and who he was to be able to believe in him. أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُمْ مُنْكِرُونَ. People reject the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they don't know enough about him. So there's not like a fixed amount you can say, like one chapter, or you must know his name and his lineage and his, you know, how many years he spent in Mecca. It's not like that. You must know enough to be able to fulfill what Allah has made obligatory upon you. And that is something which may differ from person to person. But ultimately, if you listen to what I said in the lecture, for example, about what you need to do, then the knowledge you need to get to that stage, that's what's obligatory upon every single Muslim. And Allah knows best.
Ameen. Jazakallah, Sheikh. I think that's the final question, inshallah. Jazakallah, Sheikh, for your time. Just in time, isn't it? 20 minutes.
Yeah, you have. Alhamdulillah, we have another 3-4 minutes, inshallah, still. We're still good.
Alhamdulillah.
But it's good we can finish up, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So, Sheikh, Jazakallah khairan. Jazakallah for your time. Jazakallah for everything you've shared with us. We ask Allah to make every single one of us from amongst the people that benefit from the good that they hear and are able to implement it. We ask Allah to place it upon your scale of good deeds, Sheikh, upon yours and your families. And mashallah, every single person who made this possible, the amazing brothers and sisters behind the scenes, everybody from the Revivers team, may Allah bless them and preserve them. And I hope, inshallah, this is a means of, for those of us, mashallah, who are parents, and for those of us who are youth that are tuning in, I hope this is a means of inspiration, because a lot of the people behind the Revivers are very young individuals. And this is something that should be a motivation, because if we look even in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find the contribution to the ummah was not done mainly by the elderly. It was done, a lot of it, the muscle behind it was from the shabab, was from the youth. And I hope this is, inshallah, an inspiration, mashallah, for us to connect with our scholars, with our ulama, whether local or international, for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and learn our religion better. We ask Allah to preserve all of our ulama, the likes of our Ustad, mashallah, Sheikh Tim Humble. And firstly, Jazakumullah khairan to the team for making this possible. For me especially, Sheikh, I'm a huge, I don't like using the word fan, but I would say I've benefited a lot from you, Sheikh. And we ask Allah to preserve you and preserve all of our ulama.
Jazakumullah for your kind words. I really appreciate it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you all tawfiq, and may Allah Azza wa Jal reward you all for your efforts in establishing this. And we ask the brothers and sisters to excuse the few breaks and the, you know, coming and going a little bit, but it's the case with live streams that the times are so different around the world that we have to have these little breaks and so on. But inshallah ta'ala, the benefit, I hope it was beneficial, inshallah.
Ameen. And with that, we'll end with inshallah tisbik كفارة المجلس سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك جزاكم الله خيرا إن شاء الله. Do stay tuned for other events to come. You can follow Sheikh. Do you have any classes coming up إن شاء الله soon with the AMAU or Knowledge College?
Sorry, I missed that one.
No, I said, do you have any classes coming up with AMAU online?
Yeah, the classes are just ongoing all the time. So we would advise, you know, the brothers and sisters who want to keep up to date, maybe to keep up to date through the YouTube channel, which is just youtube.com/MuhammadTim, or they can search for Muhammad Tim Official on the Telegram app. And inshallah, they can keep up to date with all the different classes, because there's too many to mention. Every week there are just You know, there are maybe 10 or something like that, between 5 and 10 every single week. So there's lots of stuff going on, inshallah. But they can keep up to date in that way, inshallah.
Okay, may Allah accept it. May Allah accept it. May Allah bless the da'wah. And for those of you in Malaysia, inshallah, if you caught the first episode with Sheikh Ibrahim Nuh, he has classes ongoing. I believe Bulugh al-Maram is one of the books that also Sheikh mentioned as well, Riyadu Salihin. I think recently there is Azad al-Ma'ad also going on. I'm not sure if the book has been finished. But inshallah, if you're available, I don't know if the brothers have the links, inshallah, you can put it up there in the chat. So for those of you who would like to join as well, that you want to follow Sheikh Muhammad Tim, or you would like to follow the classes with Sheikh Ibrahim Nuh, or the classes with Sheikh Abdurrahman Hassan as well. Walillah alhamd. The most important thing is these sessions are meant to give us a bit of a nudge, yeah? Just give us a taste of what we're missing out on in our deen, in our connection with Allah, and to inspire us to take those proactive steps to inshallah go further, connect with the ulama, and try to learn so we ourselves can be a means of khair and benefits to our families and the people around us, and we can also be guided as well. So jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.